This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. The race for the Kentucky U.S. Senate seat of Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is becoming one of the most watched 2014 election contests in the country. The campaigns of both Senator McConnell and his opponent, Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes, are out swinging hard with attack ads, and the race looks to be the most expensive ever in the state. Kentucky's traditional political outing, the Fancy Farm Picnic, is less than 10 days away, so we wanted to take a look at how the Senate race is shaping up with Cincinnati Inquirer Politics and Kentucky government reporter Scott Wortman. You can join the conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up later, we'll hear from the author of a new book on FDR and his fight with polio. But first, we want to talk about the Kentucky Senate race and the Fancy Farm Picnic. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Since Fancy Farm is the next big political event in Kentucky, set the scene for us of the Fancy Farm Picnic.
Just how fancy it is.
where is it and what is it?
It's loud and hot, basically. It's in the dead heat of August, and normally they get 10,000 people, but this year, with all the national attention Kentucky's been receiving, they're expecting double that. And it's pretty much 2 hours of nonstop yelling by Kentucky Democrats and Republicans. Well, actually, people from all across the country will sometimes come in, depending on who's speaking. But it's basically loud and hot is a good way to sum it up.
Where is it located?
Far western Kentucky, outside of Paducah, in a little town called Fancy Farm, which is basically a Catholic church and some pastures. And it's started in 1880, so it's been going on. It's basically tradition. Politicians started going there in the 30s from across the state, and it's kind of built from there.
So there's some pretty good food there, too.
There is. 10,000 pounds. They probably have more this year of mutton.
And this is a fundraiser for the church?
The church, yes.
And so it started out as a fundraiser back in 1880, I'm assuming, but you said...
Yeah, just a small town community picnic.
But the politicians started coming then in the 30s.
Yeah, and when you say Fancy Farm for people that aren't in Kentucky, I mean, the name itself just kind of conjures odd images of, like, tuxedos on farms, but it's evidently just some postmaster in the 1800s just was impressed by one of the farms there and named it Fancy Farm.
If you were not there on August 2nd when this event takes place, it's always the first Saturday in August.
Correct.
Would you ever have any idea that this goes on? If I were to go down there right now, would I even have any idea that this is going to take place on August the 2nd?
I imagine they probably have some banners, but other than that, no, it's just a small town with a Catholic church and a few farms and some houses.
And I'm assuming these are, if you've got all these people coming in, this sounds like it, like you said, far western Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Even once they're going to go there, they don't, if they're coming in early, they don't stay there. They have to stay remote places and then come in to
Paducah
this.
Has some hotels. All the reporters stay at the Drury Inn there, which has a good continental breakfast.
Yeah. I've always gotten the impression of Fancy Farm that, I mean, if you wanted to be taken seriously in statewide politics in Kentucky, you had to go there.
Yes.
I mean, you have to be there.
Particularly if you're running for election. Now, Bashir hasn't been there the past 2 years since his race, but he's coming back for the first time in 2 years this year. So if you're not running for election, some people see it as a potential for a gaffe, and they don't want to make a mistake. But if you're running for election for statewide office, you have to be there. Otherwise, you're not a legitimate candidate.
Well, how much of this involves theater? My producer posted something here that folks dress up to cause to create a distraction for candidates they're opposed to.
They do. We had a Northern Kentucky guy. He dresses up as George Washington anyways, but, I mean, he was there as George Washington with a bullhorn, you know, saying, hey, hey, ho, ho, you know, Obama's got to go and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the what you hear from both sides. You're just screaming at each other.
And it's sometimes the candidates, I know, usually have pretty prepared remarks and their talking points. I know a few years ago, Scotty Basler in his race against Jim Bunning went a little off script, got a little carried away, and it turned into an attack ad for the Bunning campaign, the Basler appearance at Fancy Farm. Is it the atmosphere that causes them to maybe go off script a little bit and maybe say some things that traditionally they would not say?
It's actually, I think, pretty unique, particularly in today's highly regulated, highly scripted campaign environment. this is one of the only opportunities voters really get to see of a candidate facing an opposing hostile audience. You don't really see that much anymore. So it really tests the poise of candidates.
What and the scene here is like a stage that these candidates get on and speak to this large crowd?
Yes, and I'm told they have redesigned it now, so they've got more of kind of a comfortable brick facade, and they're trying to make it a little bit more toned down. They've actually asked the two parties, to try and keep the audiences more under control because they're expecting double the crowds and they want people to hear the candidates. But both parties have told me that they've told them, but there's only so much they can do. It's kind of like herding cats. I mean, you can't, people will be screaming. That's the tradition.
Are there any safety concerns with an event like this?
There haven't been. Jim Bunning did say in his appearance in 2004 that the crowd had jostled him and attacked him, but I'm not aware of any major law enforcement problems. It's still basically a family church-run picnic, and I'm not aware of physical altercations happening there.
What about scheduling these folks to speak? So we know that Senator Mitch McConnell is going to be there. We know his challenger, Allison Lundgren Grimes, the Kentucky Secretary of State, will be there. Do they speak back-to-back, or how are they separated? Or who goes first?
I believe that's up to the MC, and I think they'll do a coin toss sometimes. But they limit it to either people that are running for office that year or current office holders. So, like, if you're a current office holder, constitutional office holder, attorney general, or treasurer, or secretary of state, not running that year, you can speak. But they're not letting Hal Heiner, who's running for governor next year, he's not able to speak this year because he's not a constitutional office holder, and he's not his race is next year.
So this is not necessarily like a cattle call for 2015 candidate for governor.
Yes, although Jamie Comer, who is expected to announce either in the days leading up, he's the agriculture commissioner for Kentucky. He's expected to be a Republican candidate. He will be speaking, and he's expected to announce his intentions either from the stage or in the days leading up.
And we would assume then, too, if we're looking at a 2015 for the governor's race, Jack Conway is the attorney general. He could also speak
and
since
he's an office holder.
He is
speaking there, yes.
Is it can these speeches be make or break for a candidate in Kentucky?
It can be break if they do something really foolish. Not necessarily. It's more just mandatory that they have to do it and kind of endure this gauntlet. But I don't think it makes a candidate. But if they have a major gaffe, then it could break them. But they have to do it.
What is it like for a reporter to cover an event like this? What kind of access do you have? Are you just among the throng of people, or do you have pretty good access to these candidates?
The candidates like to talk. There are breakfast. There's the Democrats hold a big bean dinner the night before. Well, they'll talk to reporters. They'll be mingling with people. The Republicans hold breakfast the day before that, too, where they mingle with reporters and the crowd. It'll be interesting this year because I'm sure there's going to be a lot more national media, and it might be a bit more difficult this year just because there's just more people.
Now, with that if there's more of a national focus, and we would assume that's because of the Senate race.
And Rand Paul as well, who's going to be speaking.
Would that maybe, since there are more eyes focused, perhaps, maybe Mitch McConnell or Rand Paul both may not say things that they would have said last year when maybe there weren't so many national media folks on the grounds?
I think that whatever they said would get around anyways, and Fancy Farms become such a tradition. I mean, actually, Steve Beshear, last time he spoke there in 2011, got flack for not having a negative speech. They said his speech was too positive, and he talked about his trip to Afghanistan and Iraq, visiting the troops, and the Republicans were accusing him of using the troops as a prop and not going with the normal attack negative stump speeches.
Now, for somebody like Allison Grimes or Mitch McConnell, is this something that they just kind of come in for their part and leave, or do some of the candidates hang around to work the crowd?
I'm told they'll both be at the Republicans also have an event the night before. They'll be at their respective party events the night before. Last year, I believe Allison Grimes had toured the gaseous diffusion plant out there. So they usually try and make the most of getting the Western Kentucky vote while they're out there.
What's the makeup of this crowd? Is it split 50-50, tend to be more Democratic, more Republican, more independent?
It's about even. Kentucky's majority Democrat, despite its reputation as a conservative state. So you get a good they split them in the grandstand, Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other, and it's usually about even.
Now, when do you get there?
I get there Friday morning and to cover all the events Friday night, and then we'll be there through Sunday.
And you were talking about one particular stretch of highway. It's like, what, three and a half hours on one particular stretch of highway?
Oh, yes, the Wendell Ford Parkway. Yeah. You have to gas up before you get on there because there are not many gas stations or stops there.
It is a very remote location.
It is, yeah. It's very close to St. Louis, actually.
Sure, yeah.
Well, we are talking today with Scott Wortman of the Cincinnati Enquirer about the Fancy Farm Picnic that's coming up on August the 2nd, and also the Kentucky Senate race between Republican incumbent Mitch McConnell and Democratic challenger, who is the current Secretary of State, Allison Lundergan Grimes. Clearly, this is probably going to be the marquee matchup that folks are going to hear about at Fancy Farm, and it's a race that's getting a lot of attention across the country this year.
Yes. Basically, the stake of who controls the Senate, that's what's at stake, and that's why a lot of out-of-state interests on both sides are getting involved. I believe 86%, I might be getting them mixed up here, but 86% of McConnell's campaign contributions come from out-of-state and 75% of Grimes's, and it's going to be probably the most expensive Senate race in U.S. history.
And when we say that, what kind of money are we talking about?
They're projecting over $100 million, which would surpass the $91 million that the Hillary Clinton-Lazio race in New York brought in 2000.
How much do you think of that as so-called independent expenditures, third-party groups?
I don't have a percentage, but I would say a large portion of it.
A very large portion.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the ones that's involved, Kentuckians for Strong Leadership, they've already ran an ad for McConnell. And one of the interesting things about that is only about six out of the 50 donors are from Kentucky, even though it's called Kentuckians for Strong Leadership.
Yeah. And I think there was some reporting last week that Allison Grimes, or at least the press releases I have seen that we get, seems like inundated with daily from both sides.
Yes.
They're saying that she's raising records amounts of money for a statewide candidate in Kentucky.
Yeah, the last go around, the last 3 months, she raised $4 million, which is a record for a Kentucky candidate in one quarter. The previous was McConnell in 2008 with $2.9 million. But McConnell still has more in the bank and has raised $25 million overall because she had a head start. But Grimes is up to $11.3 million now total raised.
What give us a flavor of the race right now? I mean, clearly both candidates are on TV. Mm-hmm. We were talking before we went on the air. It seems like I've seen more McConnell ads, but maybe that's just the times I've been watching. But give us a flavor of what's happening. You know, what I think we're about 14, 15 weeks out from the election.
Yes, coal and healthcare are the two big issues that you're seeing in the ads out there with Grimes, who is, she just released an ad with a unemployed coal miner asking McConnell why he's not bringing jobs to the state. They're making a lot of hay out of McConnell's quote in the Beattyville newspaper that it's not his job, you know, to create jobs in Kentucky. And there's no recording of that, so he disputes that he said that, but the paper stands by it. But Grimes is getting a lot of mileage out of that. On the other end, McConnell's trying to tie Grimes to Obama, who has a low approval rating in Kentucky, 29%. But McConnell's isn't much higher at about 30-some percent. So,
I think I saw an article, too, that that maybe the Grimes campaign is trying to soften that by bringing in people who are not President Obama, including the Clintons and Elizabeth Warren.
Yes, yeah. Elizabeth Warren came in for a fundraiser in Northern Kentucky and then went to the University of Kentucky to talk about her plan for reducing student debt, but they're trying to draw attention away from any of the Obama's policies or any Obamacare and things like that.
Well, and Grimes does have this personal relationship with the Clintons, too,
yeah,
that she can play on to raise money.
And the Clintons are still wildly popular in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton won Kentucky during both of his elections and still very popular person.
And it's a pretty good bet that I think it's already been announced that he'll be here in Kentucky to campaign. And the thinking is that Hillary Clinton will also make some appearances in Kentucky for Allison.
Correct. Yeah. And Bill's already been to Louisville once, so for Allison.
What the issue of Obamacare, I know Republicans running for the Senate are campaigning against Obamacare, but how does that cut in Kentucky where it's been, at least the state's exchange, the Connect program, seems to have been pretty successful compared to efforts in other parts of the country?
Yeah, there is kind of a disparity between what Beshear's done and what the president has done as far as the perception in Kentucky. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. It seems like public opinion, people are against the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, but they're for the state exchange. So I think people aren't drawing the connection between the two, at least according to the polls that you see and the people you talk to out there.
Do you get any sense of what's happening with the people who supported Matt Bevin against McConnell in the primary? I mean, the sort of the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party. Are they coming back home? Do you get any sense of?
Most of the ones I talk to, most of them are, but some of them I've talked to, the head of the Boone County Tea Party and Campbell County Tea Party, they're either considering or said they will vote for the Libertarian candidate, David Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
But since McConnell won resoundingly over Bevin by 25%, a small percentage of that will probably not vote for McConnell, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to tilt the scales.
Center College down in Danville has offered to do a debate on a specific date, I think September 3rd. They were a little flexible with that. Do you think that's going to happen? Or
they seem to be disagreeing on times,
right,
and the ground rules, so I haven't heard whether they've come to an agreement yet or not on that, but they're going back and forth on who's going to be allowed in, the times, the venue. So,
and I think that since we're on the debates, McConnell wanted to debate early, and Grimes wanted to be closer to Election Day. Is that correct?
Yes.
And in that accord, McConnell had accepted one date. Was it maybe the Kentucky Farm Bureau or something like that?
I don't remember.
August,
right.
And then Grimes has accepted something from KET, I believe, in October.
Yes.
Where does Northern Kentucky fit into all this? I know we're talking about the Tea Party influence. Obviously, for Mitch McConnell, is Northern Kentucky make or break, and by the margin that to win Northern Kentucky?
I mean, every region's going to be important. This is going to be a close election. It's probably going to be within 3 percentage points. So I think every region's important. His big base is in Western Kentucky, but I think every region is going to probably make the difference. I know that's non-committal, but it's going to be very, very tight. And McConnell's last race was within 6 percentage points of the Democratic candidate, and Allison's a much stronger candidate. So,
what is the polling showing right now?
Dead heat right now, and there's a new poll coming out every day, and they all are within a few percentage points. Allison, a lot of the ones I've been seeing, but a lot of them, again, are by partisan organizations, but a lot of the ones I've seen put Allison ahead a few percentage points, but it's pretty much the dead heat.
Yeah, you're not seeing much in the way of independent polling?
Not too much at this point.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What Howard had asked earlier about Matt Bevin, has he come out and endorsed McConnell yet?
He has not, no.
And I'm assuming
he was kind of cagey about it after his defeat, whether he would or wouldn't, and so he's not done that yet.
Again, this is a Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking today about the Kentucky U.S. Senate race between Republican incumbent Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, and Democratic challenger, current Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes. Our guest is Cincinnati Inquirer Politics and Kentucky Government reporter Scott Wortman. If you have a question, 513-419-7155. Actually, that's our fund drive number. Whoops. I always slip that in there somehow. 513-419-7100 or talk at WVXU.org. I'm sure our development director wouldn't mind if you called the fund drive number. Back to these debates. There's probably pros and cons on each side to each candidate in these debates. What's McConnell's good points in a debate?
His experience. I mean, you know, he's not easily rattled and knows what to expect.
And I think going into the primary, he refused to debate Matt Bevin.
Yes.
But almost the day after the primary, maybe even the night of the primary election, he was issuing the call to Grimes to set a debate schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I think he sees that as a definite strength.
What about her strengths?
She's very charismatic, very energetic, but also they're afraid of, at this point, having McConnell define her. And her campaign staff has kind of kept her tight-lipped on a lot of different issues and very tightly controlled her appearances.
I was going to ask that, too. What kind of access have you had to both candidates?
Limited. And I know I'm not the only one. It's been very structured and very few one-on-one interviews. She gave an interview when she did her bus tour. She gave me about three and a half minutes to talk to her, but it's been very, very limited for pretty much all reporters because they want to tightly control the message and don't want to have any unscripted moments. And that seems to be typical, though, of pretty much all national races or congressional races now.
And I'm assuming that's basically the partisan nature of politics now, but it seems like they have their talking points and you can ask the same question 10 different times, but you get the same talking points no matter the 10 different questions that you ask.
It's almost to the point where it's non sequiturs. You'll ask them something. You could ask them something about the death penalty and then they'll talk about jobs.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that with the internet they can get their own message out, and also they're afraid of those, like Romney's 47% moment with the iPhone video and things getting a life of its own, going viral, like I guess you could say.
When we were talking about the debate, you know, they're arguing about how they're going to debate, if they're going to debate. Where do you think that's going to fall out? Will there be before the November election a face-to-face debate between Mitch McConnell and Allison Grimes?
I think they'll have to be, because if it'll get to the point where it'll come down to the candidate either looking like they're accepting a debate or ducking out of a debate. And so I think there'll have to be something.
Well, if there is a debate or debates, I mean, in a close race, I've seen many times over the years where these have been really decisive. Mm-hmm. They can make up minds or change minds. That's, you know, if this is as close a race as it appears to be, both of them have a lot to lose or to gain.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I don't know, though, with this having been in the headlines for so long, I don't know if it comes in late in the game how influential it would be or not. I mean, they've been campaigning for over a year now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about, we talk about the big names coming in for Allison Grimes, the Clintons, Elizabeth Warren has already been to Kentucky. What about Kentucky's junior senator, Rand Paul, and his role in the McConnell campaign? And does he have to be careful if he has intentions of running for president in 2016?
Yeah, he does, and he has been. He's kind of tepidly endorsed McConnell. He endorsed McConnell officially in the primary, but then didn't really say much or do much after that. He's clearly going to support McConnell as a Republican, but McConnell's not very popular with Rand Paul's Tea Party base, and he doesn't want to alienate the people that got him elected.
What about Northern Kentucky's representative in Congress, Tom Massey?
He's pretty much done what he said he would do when he was elected, which is go against everything the establishment has introduced, vote against Boehner for leader, and he's garnered the nickname Mr. No.
What about, has he endorsed McConnell, or is he going to sit on the sidelines?
I don't know. He hasn't really done much. I mean, I believe he has. I don't know if he's officially said anything on McConnell. I haven't seen anything from him, but I'm sure he's going to support McConnell, but it'll probably be at an arm's length.
I know Howard and I, and I'm sure you too, daily, it's emails from the McConnell campaign attacking Grimes, and then emails from the Grimes campaign attacking McConnell. Do reporters, I mean, I don't, because I don't have time to wade through all that, but political reporters, do you pay any attention to those daily barrage of press releases that you're getting from both sides, which look to be spin?
I guess it depends on what I'm doing that day. If I have to cover the gubernatorial race or some legislation, I mean, there's a ton of white noise. I mean, it's
sure.
Things fall by the wayside. It depends. I mean, sometimes, but there's just a lot out there constantly.
I mean, it's multiple ones a day from both sides,
yeah.
Attacking each side.
Campaigns, in my experience, I mean, they'll it's like throwing a bowl of spaghetti against the wall and you see how much of it sticks. I mean, you know, if you get a few strands of spaghetti stick to the wall, you're ahead of the game.
An email doesn't cost anything. So,
right, sure.
Yeah.
We mentioned Rand Paul. He's actually going to be in Cincinnati tomorrow to address the Urban League convention. And then I think he's also maybe scheduled to address the Northern Kentucky Chamber tomorrow afternoon. But anyway, he's going to be in the area tomorrow.
Correct.
And you're going to be covering his appearance at the Urban League.
Yes.
What do you expect him to say?
Well, he's going to be touting his economic proposal for poverty-stricken neighborhoods and his support for restoring voting rights to felons. This is all part of his campaign to broaden the GOP base. He wants to attract more of the African-American vote, more of the Hispanic vote. He's spoken to Howard University already, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. He's been going around the country. He's been getting cold receptions at some of these places, particularly at Howard University, but this is more along that vein, and I expect him to be focusing on those issues.
And Howard, Vice President Biden was at the convention this morning, and you were there bright and early.
Yes.
About 30 seconds here. What did you hear from the Vice President?
Well, yeah, he was pretty low-key, but he was mainly touting the Obama administration's plans to invest more money in job training and apprenticeship programs. You know, we got to spend more money on infrastructure. And talk a little bit about, you know, Urban League's role in securing voting rights 50 years ago, and that we have to keep working on that.
Did he drop any hints about 2016?
Not in one. I mean, it was very, very low key.
Which is sometimes unusual for Vice President.
For the Vice President. It was the quietest speech I've ever heard him give.
We've been talking about the U.S. Senate race in Kentucky between Republican incumbent Mitch McConnell and Democratic challenger Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes. Our guest was Cincinnati Inquirer Politics and Kentucky government reporter Scott Wortman. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Enjoy Fancy Farm and your long drive here next weekend.
Read the Inquirer for updates.
Coming up next, we'll hear from the author of a new book on FDR and his fight with polio. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.